This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thankful to Philip Agner and his parents. His stepmother's art is all across the cafe, and the food is phenomenal. And thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll be in touch. We'll talk soon for sure. Just a really great morning to give you a perspective of yet another community. This one, you know, a little bigger. Middletown is, you know, 47,000 people, and it's one of those mid-level cities that maybe in the industrial age had a different kind of identity. I don't know, but we'll find that out in a second, actually. And it has a beautiful Main Street that has so much potential, and it seems in a lot of ways is starting to, not starting to, but is realizing a lot of it, especially on the food side of it. Jesse Nasta is the executive director of the Middlesex County Historical Society. What's your doctorate in, by the way?
In history.
In history. Yeah. What, but you can't just, like, what's your specialty? Like, what was your dissertation on?
So I focus on 19th century U.S. history, and particularly African-American history, slavery, emancipation.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Some heady, intense stuff. In terms of here in this area, I would love to talk more about your own academic work, but why is it Middlesex County in that, like what is it about the county that has this sort of sphere that makes its history brought together?
Well, I grew up here and came back here to teach at Wesleyan and to be director of the Historical Society.
Oh,
so
wow.
I have deep roots in this community going
you
back.
You grew up in Middletown?
Going back to childhood.
Were you a fac brat here too, or...?
No, I was not a fact brat,
okay.
But I did go to Wesleyan as an undergrad, and then after getting my doctorate, came back to teach at Wesleyan and like I said, run the Historical
Society.
You're
the third Wesleyan grad we've had on this morning who stayed here. You know, we had Jennifer Alexander, who was an 88, and the mayor, of course, graduated in 14. I want to ask you your year if you don't want to share it.
I'm right in the middle, more or less. I'm 07.
Oh, nice. So you're young. Was it did you want to come back here, or was it just where the opportunity was for a tenure track job?
Both, but it's been an incredible place to grow up, to come back to, and I know you were talking earlier about the relationship between Wesleyan and the community, and I love having both positions where I'm at Wesleyan, but also steeped in the history and the community of Middletown off campus as well, and trying to bridge the two.
In terms of the history, I always like to learn about, you know, the places and like, so where we are in the river, right? The river has to had something to do with the founding, but also Weathersfield's right up the road, and that was one of the if not the first town in Connecticut. So why did people start coming here?
So Middletown was settled by the English almost as early as Weathersfield. So Weathersfield, 1634. Middletown.
Some would say 1633.
Yes.
But no, we're no equivalent. I live in Windsor, so.
And we're 1650, so we're only 17 years later. So I'm steeped in the Wangunk history. They were the indigenous people here going back about 10,000 years. And then 1650, the English came to Middletown. But the short answer to your question is that we're at the bend in the river. You know, there's an iconic bend right by the Arrigoni Bridge, the Portland Bridge. So we were the deepest river port on the Connecticut River. So because the river happens to be so deep here, ships were able to dock here and unload cargo. So by the end of the 1700s, we were the largest city in Connecticut, believe it or not. We surpassed Hartford. We surpassed New Haven. And we were shipping goods back and forth to the Caribbean daily. So this became a major river port by the mid-1700s and remained so into around the 1820s for about 70 years until steamships and larger ships came about and made larger ports surpass Middletown. But we have that history of constant back and forth trade with the Caribbean islands. And in fact, the Historical Society over here at 151 Main Street, we have an exhibit called The Vanished Port, which talks about how, of course, slavery and the transatlantic slave trade were central to the development of New England, including Middletown.
Wow. I mean, And many towns in New England, once that Industrial Revolution hit, sort of fell on some tough times. I mean, New England is littered with middle-sized cities that either were mill towns or what, and then whatever it was great at went away. Was Middletown sort of left in a bit of an economic lurch or no?
Well, around the 1810s, 1820s, Middletown did make a big transition from this global maritime trade, river trade, to industry. So some of the families who made fortunes in the trade with the Caribbean then started some of the early factories and mills in New England here. So we were one of the first centers of arms manufacturing, believe it or not. There are major pistol makers in Middletown, sword makers, and then textile mills like the Russell Company.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Which was in business until just about 40 years ago.
Now, you, with your expertise on the slave trade, and you said there's trade with the Caribbean, did the slave trade make it up here?
Yeah, so if you go to Harbor Park, there's actually the Historical Society and other local groups were involved in dedicating a marker to those who were brought here on the transatlantic slave trade. We know of at least 200 people brought directly from Africa to Middletown. That's how extensive and direct the trade was between Connecticut, including Middletown, West Africa.
This could have been the northernmost point.
Boston. I mean, there was slavery as far north as New Hampshire and Vermont, but this is one of the most northern major ports, yes.
Wow. In terms of the history of the area, just, you know, I want to try to weave in my niece in a little bit in a second here, but I want to ask you one more question. What other elements of this area are dynamic to the point you'd want to share with our audience?
Well, we have this really rich, almost 400-year history of maritime history, river port history, industrial history, military history, some major war heroes here, including General Mansfield, whose house is now the Historical Society at 151 Main Street. He was a Civil War general. But as you probably heard, Middletown is, especially the downtown, is having a renaissance in the past decade or so. So it's a great place to visit and to learn this
what's
history.
What's at the Society? When is it open? And give me a sense of what's going on there, because I know you guys are busy.
Yeah, so if you could visit us online, www.mchs.com. CT.org. We're always having events. We're always open Tuesdays and Thursdays for drop-in hours, and then we're always putting special events on our website and email blasts and things like that. So we have the Vantage Port exhibit, and the next exhibit will be on urban renewal, which, like cities like Middletown, Hartford, New Haven, were completely remade in the 1950s, 60s with the development of highways and shopping malls and all.
Well, they screwed up here, right?
you can't exactly. People coming here would, you know, unlike, say, Wethersfield, nobody driving by Middletown would say, oh, that's a colonial city. No one looks at that and says, oh, that's the 1600s, that's the 1700s. But all that history is here.
I know. It's like a failed opportunity that somehow I wonder how they can figure it out to open up the waterfront in a way that's more accessible. Let me just repeat, mchsct.org.
That's right.
And it's open to drop-ins on Tuesday and Thursday.
That's right. And then we are always open for special events regularly as well.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, there is this kind of back to Main Street movement. It is ironic that the country moved away from Main Street in the 60s to the suburbs and the shopping malls, but Middletown successfully kind of having a back to Main Street movement.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because my niece is here. My brother and sister both graduated from Wesleyan. My niece is here now, and her little sister is coming next year. So there's real family connections here. What do you teach? What do you teach in the semester?
So I teach history. I teach Middletown history. I teach African-American history. So those are my specialties.
Yeah. Why aren't you going to take one of his classes?
We should talk.
But I take economics and psychology.
Everyone should take at least one history course before they graduate.
I took humanities because it's all I could do. I can't carry the one, and I can read and I can write. I mean, so like that's where I ended up in terms of my academics, and it served me well. But I mean, Wesleyan's kind of we've had such a range here. We had Jennifer, who started a children's museum. We have, you know, Ben Florsheim, who's the mayor. You're an historian, and you know, you might be studying some traditional stuff, but like you're doing like your minor. Are you like minoring in
dance?
In dance, but like, is that something you ever thought you would do?
No.
How's ballet?
Hard. Nana, I don't know if mom and dad are too happy about the dance minor, but Nana was giving me some crap for not being very good at ballet. So
your grandmother?
Yes, my grandmother.
But I think that's sort of what speaks, like Wesleyan's changed too a lot, but even still it has that eclectic sort of like, even if you're doing more of a mainstream, you know, set of majors, you're still doing something that's out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, you can take anything at this point.
Last question for both of you. Like, what do you love about Middletown?
Oh, I think the community and the people. I mean, Brubaker's here. You can come here and you'll sit here and see 30 people you know in a day. And you don't get that in everywhere. You don't get that in many places. So, again, we're steeped in history, but it is a really tight-knit community as well.
Obviously, Wesleyan's in Middletown, so I love that, but I think how integrated the campus, like the on-campus and the off-campus is, like the availability to like be on campus and have fun and then come downtown. And
do you come down a lot?
Yeah, I come down a lot, honestly. I come to Brubaker's a lot. In these restaurants, we have really good food, so I'm very thankful for that.
What'd you get?
A coffee cake muffin.
So funny. Go ahead, real quick.
Can I tell you a real quick story? Yeah. Lin-Manuel Miranda graduated from Wesleyan in 2002, 5 years before me. So some of his former professors tease him because he didn't happen to take any history courses, but he wrote Hamilton. So, but, you know, he did well anyway.
He did okay.
So, you know, maybe you could teach yourself history if you miss it in college.
Professor Jesse Nasta and, of course, the lovely Sammy Smith, thank you so much. Your time is 9 o'clock.